Thanks, Pastor. Yeah, I do pray that, I just carry on with that. I do pray that what I say is good, but most of all, that what the Holy Spirit's prompting to you guys as I speak, that stuff can be moving inside of us, because it's not so much about what I'm saying, but more so about what's happening inside of us. If you wanted to have a fancy title for my message today, it's called Reclaim the Mind, and it looks pretty, so if my substance isn't good, at least I've got style. That's what I always go with. I've got to have a little bit of style, hopefully some substance to go with it. The other thing is, it's not going to be the most nice fluffy message today. I am intending to challenge us, and us as in me as well, because I don't think that all the time. There are times when we need to be cuddled, and there are times when we need to be encouraged and say, hey, this is a checkup. And this is what God's been speaking to me. It's like, hey, this is a checkup for you, man. Like, let's take some ground. And so, yeah, that's where we're heading today. Now, I've kind of, the last little bit, I've been really conscious of getting, I've seen a lot of people who've had children, and they start to, how can you say, they start to gain some girth, or they become healthy. You know what this, like, you know, the babies aren't the only ones grabbing some chins, if you know what I mean? Like dads can often go and fall in that trap. So I've been really intentional about trying to be a little bit more healthy lately. And so I've been, every now and again, I'll go for a run. I'm not like an Ed runner. I can't run as far as he can, but I can run like a good 300 meters without stopping now. Actually, the other day, I was just saying before, I saw Thomas running, and man, he must have been going for it, because man, he was spent by the time. I was like, good effort. So I've been on this little bit of a health buzz lately. Admittedly, every now and again, I have a guilty pleasure. And so on the way back from Auckland on Friday night, Chris and I were like, oh, we'll eat relatively healthy. Went to Countdown, got some food. And then at Huntley, you know when you're parked in the Huntley car park, does anyone know what you can smell? What can you smell? What's that? Yeah, man. I had a KFC over there. Yeah. Was that? That must have been Cam. That was a twang on that. Cam knows his KFC. And so we're like, actually, should we just get some sneaky KFC? So we walked in there. And as we're walking in, guess who's walking out? Our healthy lead pastors, Pastor Roger and Cheryl. We snapped them, and they're coming out. It was a beautiful moment. And I was like, dang, I'm trying to be healthy. And then I wasn't sure if I snapped them or they snapped me. But we saw them anyway in our moment of weakness. But we do often have moments of weakness when we're trying to be healthy. So I've been running a little bit, and not long distances, but I was running the other day, and I was coming back over the airfield, and it was kind of one of those windy days. Not like today where it was raining, but it was windy. And and as I was running, in my head I was thinking, oh, I'm really tired. I might just go for a walk now. But then I remembered something, and it might have just been something that I heard like from playing sport with a whole bunch of boys, like, there's no pain, just fight through the pain, like, you're sweet. And I was like, okay, I'm not even going to think about the pain, I'm just going to carry on, I'm not even tired. And so I just carried on, and like, I thought to myself, I'm not going to feel any pain, I'm just going to carry on. And it worked. Like, there was so much of it, it was just a mind game. I was thinking, oh, I'm so tired, I'll give up. But then I was like, no, I'm pretty sure this is actually something this isn't just an Andy fact. I think this was actually true. So I Googled this, and there's this guy, so in 1924, this guy Archibald Hill came up with a theory that fatigue is just, it's how the brain sends messages to our body, to our muscles to slow down, just so we can conserve energy to handle what's up ahead of us. So our brain is sending these messages, just slow down. But actually, we're capable of more. And he didn't actually test it out. But then later on, there's this guy, Timothy Noakes, who was an ultramarathon runner. I don't know, how long is an ultramarathon? It just sounds really long. Like, I think a half marathon sounds long enough. And then you got a marathon, and then an ultramarathon. How much? 1,000 Ks. That's fantastic. Yeah. 100 Ks. 100,000 Ks is a long way to go. Ed, do you run ultramarathons, something like that? Not really, but I imagine it's a long way. 100,000 meters, though. Here's a mass for you, quick maths. So he was this ultramarathon runner, and he was going, I want to test this theory. And so he, instead of just running, and then when he felt tired, he would slow down. He had a crew that was with him, and they would time him, like they would figure out how fast he could run, right? And every time he started slowing down, they're like, "Oi, hurry up!" He's like, "I'm tired." They're like, "No, you're not. Carry up." And he just kept on going. I mean, that's tough love right there, eh? That's not fun by any stretch of the imagination. But he had this crew that just kept on and saying, "You're not tired. You've got more in you. Let's go." And it ended up being that he was only actually, before he had his crew there, he was only reaching 50% of his potential as a runner. Like, he had an extra 50% of what he could do. That's incredible, eh? And I think sometimes we tap out, not just running, I think sometimes we tap out because we think, oh, it's too hard, I've got nothing left in me. When actually there's another 50% if we just go, hey, come on, just keep going. You're not tired, you've got more in you. And I think the main way, if we can take control of our mind, of our thinking, that's when we can actually say, okay, let's fulfill this potential that we've got in us. So a scripture that, as I was thinking this as I was running, because you know when you're running, you've got lots of time to think, because I take a long time to run anywhere. But the scripture kind of popped into my mind, and it's one of my favorite passages in the Bible. And it's in Romans 12. So if you've got your Bibles, turn to Romans 12. We'll spend most of our time there. And we're going to be looking at the first two chapters. Chapters. We'll be here a long time. Two verses. I apologize. And in my Bible, it's headed up, a living sacrifice. And it'll also be up on the screen. It says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. And then this verse in particular. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. That's such a cool scripture, and we're just going to leave that up on the screen for a bit. But this book of Romans, it was written by a guy, Paul, and he was writing to Rome, where the Romans were, and bit of history right there, exactly, eh? But he'd never been to Rome, he'd never been to this place, but he had some friends who were there, and so he was sending this message on through, and it was a pretty obscure group of people that were in Rome. Now, Rome was like, at that time, was the epicenter of civilization in regards to thought, in regards to creativity, into regards to philosophy, into regards of government, all those things. Rome was like the epicenter of all of that. And Paul is writing this little letter to this small group of people. And at the time, there would have been heaps and heaps of literature that was written in Rome. Probably some of the most amazing minds would have been writing stuff there. But give it 20, 100, 2,000 years, and this letter that was written to this obscure group of people in Rome has had far more impact than any of that amazing stuff that was happening at the time, because it was breathed on by God. And Paul says this, do not conform to the pattern of the world, of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now, you see the word renewing there, it's highlighted, and I just wanted to spend a little bit of time on that, and we'll come back to it later on. But the word renewing, and we're going to get a little bit geeky if that's right, but it's in the Greek, it's a word that's called metamorpho, and I think it's on the next slide. And there's its definition, which is pretty close to what renewing means. But in the original translation, metamorpho is a verb, and it's in the present tense. A quick, like, 6-year-old English lesson. What's a verb? A doing word. Yeah, cool. And the present tense is not in the past, not in the future. It's right now, right? So it's something that we're doing now. So when we're saying, can we go back to the scripture beforehand? Thanks, Cam. When we're saying renewing of your mind, it's not something that's like God will come in and boom, it's done and it's in the past. It's not something that will happen in the future. It is something that is happening to us all the time. When God's saying the renewing of your mind, it's not a one and done thing. It's a process that we're always involved with. Does that make sense? Because actually something that one of the speakers up at Life at Conf, different said, and I don't think it was anything to do with their word, but I took it for me, is God will often use a seed. And he won't just go, boom, done, the miracle's done, and then it's all over. But God will plant something inside of us and grow it, and because we need to nurture it and work with it until it fits us. If God just went, boom, it's done, it's an awkward fit for us. I think of lotto winners, and you've heard the stats that a lot of people who win lotto in 10 years' time, they're broke again because they don't have the ways to use, they don't know how to use that money. And I think that would be the same with our mind. If God just went, boom, you're changed and everything's different now, we'd be like, whoa, I don't know how to do it. But God is renewing us. It's a process that he's doing to us to try and get our minds into a space where we can say to ourselves, no, I've got more in me. Does that make sense so far? You with me? Okay. I got a very good, thank you. So I've got 3 points today. And this is unlike me because I'm not a very lineal kind of person. But I do have 3 points today about what are some of the processes that we can do to help renew our mind and change our mind over time. Is that cool? So our first point is a change of mind involves a change in the way that you worship. Which is probably not the first point that you think would come up. But the preceding verse to the do not conform to the patterns of the world, but be renewed by the be transformed by the renewal of your mind. The verse before it is all about how to worship. Yeah, I want to read that out of the Message translation, and this is where we really get how we can start to change our minds, our thinking. It says this. So here's what I want you to do. God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life. You're sleeping, you're eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for him. Don't become so well-adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what he wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of maturity, God brings out the best. Brings the best out of you, develops well-formed maturity in you. I love that. Don't become well so adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. And how do we do that? Through that worship. And Paul summarizes Christian living in that one sentence. Take your everyday life. You're eating, you're sleeping, you're whatever you do, take that normal stuff every day and that becomes your act of worship. I mean, God doesn't throw out the past and everything, all our skills, and then say, nah, forget it. He uses what we've already got, what we've got and what we're doing, the influence that we have, and he can rearrange that to make something really, really powerful. And when he rearranges it, he can make something new again. I love Paul does something pretty radical to the word worship. And often you think of worship as like the 20 minutes at the start of a gathering where people play guitars and sing songs. And that is part of worship. But Paul, in this case, kind of sets it free from its moorings of that's the only way to worship. Paul says everything that we do can be done to honor God. And not just everything. What that does as well, it means that we can bring everything, not just everything we do, but we can bring everything because everything we have is an act of worship. So it's not just asking for our voices, it's asking for our lifestyles. It's asking for our minds because I think sometimes we can fall into the trap when we come to a time of singing and praise and worship where we just go, oh, they're playing the song. I like the song. I'll get into it. Or, Alana's singing today. She's got a wicked voice. I'm going to raise my hands because when she hits that high note, I'm like, yes, that gets me going. But actually, God's saying, no, I want everything that you've got, no matter what's going on. And there's a really cool verse in 1 Corinthians that says, I'll pray in the Spirit, but I'll also pray with my mind engaged. It also says, I will sing rapturous praises with my spirit, but I will also sing with my mind engaged. So when we come to this time of worship here, this would be like a culmination of a lifestyle of worship where we bring everything, not just mouthing words, but it's something of let's bring our mind engaged. And what are we actually singing to the creator of the universe? Are we just singing the words because we know them? Or are we, is it a heart and soul crying and our mind thinking, this is what I want to give honor and praise to God? Because worship isn't a religious experience that we just sit back and enjoy. It's an act in which we participate. Now, this is part of worship, but when we go out tomorrow, when we go back to work, that is your worship as well. That is part of what we should be doing. That is unleashing the extra 50% of God working in us. Shouldn't just be on a Sunday, it should be on our Monday, our Tuesday, our rest of our week. So worship, if we change the way that we worship, we start to change our mind. My second point is, it involves a change of mind involves changing our lens, so the way that we look through things. Now, when some of the lead teachers came to Jesus, they asked him, okay, what is the most important commandment? And Jesus said, love the Lord your God with what? With your heart, soul, strength, and mind. He said, it wasn't any of this, oh, you know, just love me. He said, no, bring everything that you've got. And I think sometimes it's easier to almost love God with our soul, because I feel as though our soul moves really fast. And sometimes you can, you know how there'll be a time when you feel like the prompting of the Holy Spirit and your soul's just like, oh, I'm there, I'm going there. But our mind is slower. It's just a bit, it's just something that I find in my own life, I can feel like God calling me and to do things, and like my soul's like, phew. But in my mind, I'm straight away thinking, yeah, but what will they think, or what will happen here? My mind was like the one dragging the chain, when my heart wants to be going forward and doing these things, but so often it's our mind that's slowing us down. And so if we can kind of change the way that we see things, then we can start to get our mind retrained into being as powerful as it can be. Now, I think often we're stuck, a lens that we often look through is the lens of comparison. And we often will see something that's happening and think, oh, that's cool for them, but what's happening for me? Or we can compare ourselves to someone else. Does that make sense? And you might think, oh, I can see that person's got an awesome gift on their life, but that's not on my life, so I'm not going to do anything. Or you might see, hey, I'm doing really well with my life when I compare myself to this person here. And you go, oh, then I'm sweet. But a lens of comparison creates a smallness in the way that we can do our lives. Because God has never intended for us to live a life of someone else. He's intended us to live our best life. So let's not compare ourselves to someone else, because God's got something better in store for us. Instead, the lens that I think that we should always be using that can change our mind is the lens of gratitude. You know what I mean by that? Like, when we have that lens of gratitude and of, I'm just so grateful for everything that we've got, when we can start seeing that, then you realize that there is so much that is happening in our world that we've got so much to be grateful for, and we can't help but get our mind changed going, I want to be sharing the love of Jesus in that situation. I think gratitude is, gratitude precedes a blessing. And what I mean by that is, if I was God, and God was like, okay, who can I bless today? I might choose Martin, because he just smiled at me. But if Martin's like, oh man, oh, I got this rain for my farm today. Oh, I just needed it really bad, but I can't now hang out my washing, because I know Martin's really good at hanging out the washing. But if God's in the room and he looks over at PJ, and PJ's like, yes, my garden's going to grow, I'm stoked with this. God's going, hey, there's someone who shows gratitude for what I'm pouring out. There's someone I actually want to invest in. And he's going to go, okay, PJ, you're grateful for what I've already given you. Here's some more. And if he goes, man, that's so good, I'm so grateful for that, God's going to be like, cool, just keep on using you. Just keep on using you. But when we have that comparison of, oh, I'm just going to look at, the lens of comparison and look at what PJ's got, and go, oh man, he's got that. Instead of being grateful for what we've got, that's when we can start to make a difference. My third point is, a change of mind involves a willingness to be made renewed. Like, we actually have to be willing to have a change of mind. We can't just go, oh, yeah, now that sounds like a good idea. But I really like everything that I've got the way that it's got right now. You know, the word renew, and then the scripture says be transformed by the renewal of your mind. It's a really simple word. It's just like to be made new again, like renew, right? It's to be made, and to go back to that default setting of being made new and whole again. And that's such a powerful thing. We're really wide today. I've just noticed that, eh? Like from Ari to Marion, I've got like a full spectrum. I almost need to move back a bit. But sorry, I digress. Renew, made new again. All of us have got eternity and heaven in our hearts. But like when we're in our natural state and our go back to before anything ever happened, there is eternity and there is God placed in our hearts, but it's about us calling that out. In Romans 2, in verse 14 and 15, it says that when outsiders who have never heard of God's law follow it more or less by instinct, they confirm its truth in their obedience. They show that God's law is not something alien, imposed on us from without, but woven into the very fabric of our creation. There is something deep within them that echoes God's yes and no, right and wrong. Like, there is something inside of us that's always been searching for eternity. And that's the same with our mind. There's something inside of us that's always had that sense of God in our lives, but so many things have come in the way for us to really see, to accept the changing of that. And I love that whole idea of God wants to bring us back, renew us, take us back over time. Like, it's a process over time to make us back and to be whole again. Because I do think that there is so much more for us, for me and for all of us as well. I think I'm only using half of what I can do because I haven't fully retrained my mind. And I think the main thing is because I don't want to run the risk and to face the pain sometimes of actually stepping out and doing something that really will make a difference in my family, in my workplace, in my community. And sometimes we can almost feel fatigued. You know, like when I was running at the start, like I'd feel really tired and my mind would tell me, oh, just give up. And we can hear that at times. We can hear, oh, you're running well. But you know what? There's some setbacks, there's some disappointments. You're pretty tired. You can stop now. But I actually think that's the weapon that the devil tries to use for us all the time. The devil's just trying to say, hey, you know what? You've done your thing. You've got nothing left. Just give up. When God's going, hey, daily, he's that crew beside us. Every now and again, he'll do it lovingly, but every now and again, he won't. And say, hey, don't slow down. You've got more in you. Daily, get with me and renew. Come on, toughen up. I've got more for you. But I probably actually misquoted Jesus because I don't think he'd ever say, just toughen up. I think he'd probably go, hey, I'm with you. I'm with you. Because that daily relationship that we spend in time with God, when we can go, okay, I need to daily renew my mind so that I can be fully powerful in what God wants. God's like, yes, a daily relationship just means intimacy. And that's all what God's after with us, eh? God's done everything that he can so that he can be close to us, so that daily we can renew our mind, so we can become more than we've ever been before. So I'm going to leave it there. It's not a nice and easy message, but I do challenge you. What are the mindsets that we've got? What are the mindsets that we're like, oh, I can't do any more there? Because I think God's sometimes calling us out saying, you've got more in you. You've got more in you. Don't settle for the lies that the enemy's saying, that the devil's saying, you're done. You're over it. Now, God will every now and again say, look, come and take rest with me, But every now and again he says, just do it daily and then we can go and fight this battle again. Because he wants us to see things new again, like for the very first time. He wants us to be able to see things and go, whoa, that's the God that I serve. That's the power that he has in my life. Is that cool? I'm going to hand over to Pastor. He's just going to pray over us as the worship team comes. But if that's you, like, if you all got things in your mind, don't just go, okay, I'm going to deal with it. Go, actually, I'm going to step forward and do something about it. This isn't one of those nice messages. This is one of those, hey, let's do something. Let's get some kaha. Let's grow some backbone and do something. Is that cool? Cool.
What a word, eh?